The next hot check artist called by the state to help find the truth was Cindy McIntosh. But the poor girl was so confused she couldn't remember which story she was expected to tell. She drew a blank and was finally dismissed without completing her duties. Mike Tenney and John Christian told of their late-night chats with Ron in his cell and some of the strange things he said. Neither bothered to mention that Ron repeatedly denied any involvement in the murder and would often scream for hours that he was innocent. After a quick lunch, Peterson lined up the OSBI agents in the same order as in the Fritz trial. Jerry Peters went first and told his story of reprinting Debbie's hands after the exhumation because he was uncertain about a tiny portion of her left palm. Barney tried to pin him down on exactly how and why this became an issue 4.5 years after the autopsy, but Peters proved elusive. Did he worry about his initial findings for such a long period of time? Or did Bill Peterson call at random one day early in 1987 and make some suggestions? Peters was vague. Larry Mullins offered the same opinion as Peters. The bloody print on the sheetrock belonged to Debbie Carter, not some mysterious killer. Mary Long testified that Ron Williamson was a non-secretor, thus placed squarely in the minority of about 20% of the population. Debbie's rapist was probably in this group. With some effort, Barney pinned her down on the exact number of people she had tested and arrived at a total of 20, including the victim. And of that number, 12 were non-secretors, or 60% of her pool. He then had some fun with the math. Susan Land testified briefly. She had begun the hair analysis in the Carter case, but then transferred it to Melvin Hett. When pressed by Barney as to why, she said, "At that particular time, I was working on numerous homicides, and all the stress and strain, I just didn't feel that I could be objective, and I didn't want to make a mistake on something." Melvin Hett was then sworn in and was soon delivering the same scholarly lecture he'd given a few days earlier in the Fritz trial. He described the laborious process of microscopically comparing known hair with questioned hair. He did a fine job of giving the impression that hair analysis was thoroughly reliable. It had to be. It was used all the time in criminal trials. Hett told the jury he'd worked on thousands of hair cases. He produced some stock diagrams of different types of hair and explained that hair has between 25 and 30 distinguishable characteristics. When he finally got around to Ron Williamson, he testified that two pubic hairs found on the bed were microscopically consistent and could have come from the same source, Ron Williamson. And two scalp hairs found on the bloody washcloth were microscopically consistent and could have come from the same source, Ron Williamson. The four hairs could just as easily not have come from Ron, but Hett didn't mention this. With a slip of the tongue, Hett stepped out of bounds. As he was testifying about the two scalp hairs, he said, "These were the only scalp hairs that matched or were consistent with Ron Williamson." The word "match" is off-limits in hair analysis because it is extremely misleading. Lay people on the jury may struggle with the concept of hairs being microscopically consistent, but they have no trouble understanding a match. It's quicker, cleaner, easier to grasp. Like a fingerprint, a match eliminates all doubt. After Hett used the word "match" for the second time, Barney objected. Judge Jones overruled him, saying he could deal with it on cross-examination. Hett's most egregious act, though, was the manner in which he testified. Instead of educating the jurors, Hett chose instead to simply bless them with his opinions. To help the jury evaluate the evidence, most hair analysts bring into court enlarged photos of the hair in dispute. A photo of a known hair is mounted next to a questioned hair, and the expert goes into great detail explaining similarities and dissimilarities. As Hett said, there are about 25 different characteristics in hair, and a good examiner will show the jury exactly what he or she is talking about. Hett did nothing of the sort. After working on the Carter murder for nearly 5 years, hundreds of hours, three different reports, he did not show the jury one single enlarged photo of his work. Not a single hair taken from Ron Williamson was compared with a single hair taken from Debbie's apartment. Het was, in effect, telling the jury to simply trust him. Don't ask for proof, just believe his opinions.